One of the things I'm thinking about this morning is just how safe are helicopters? I remember when Brenda and I led a group of WGN listeners on a Kelly Cruises trip. Visit kellycruises.com to Alaska, and we had a chance to take a helicopter ride onto the glaciers, which you'll get a chance to do when you go up there. And it sounds thrilling. It sounds dangerous. You think, oh, I don't want to go all the way up here and not do it. But then again, you think, what am I doing when I get into this ridiculous helicopter? Am I putting my life and my family's lives in jeopardy? That helicopter, of course, had a great safety record. It was once owned by the state of Illinois. You've heard this about the one that Kobe Bryant and those eight others were in the Santa Monica Mountains. They said in the New York Times today that it descended at a rate of 4,200 feet from 1,700 feet. It's 1,700 feet in the air, and it's falling at 4,200 feet a minute, meaning at that rate it would have crashed in 20 seconds, not much time to do anything. My goodness. Richard McSpadden joins us on WGN Radio. He's the executive director of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association Air Safety Institute. This is a guy whose business it is, aircraft safety. Thanks for joining us, Richard. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. My pleasure.
What's the first thing we should know about the air helicopter crash yesterday?
Yeah, I appreciate your comments. The first thing you should know is that this kind of air travel really is safe. Over 3 million flight hours a year in these kinds of rotorcraft across the U.S. And we hear about the ones that end tragically. We don't hear about the ones that that end safely, you know, millions of times a year. Of course, our heart goes out to anybody that's involved in this. And our goal in the Air Safety Institute is we'd like to see this accident rate go down to zero. And that's what we work for.
It's almost that for commercial airliners, for fixed-wing civil aviation aircraft, the small ones with two or four or six people in there, those are pretty safe. My understanding is slightly safer than those fixed-wing aircraft are helicopters, and neither of them are as safe as commercial airliners. Is that the right perspective?
Yeah, that's correct. So their safety rate of the helicopters and the light airplanes is roughly the same, and we're talking less than one fatal accident per 100,000 flight hours. Now, to give you an idea, fixed-wing aircraft operators, general aviation is everything that's not military and airline by and large. And in general aviation, our fatal accident rate is less than one per 100,000 flight hours. Most general aviation pilots fly about 50 hours a year. So that gives you an idea that in general aviation, we fly 25, 26 million flight hours a year. We'd like to see that fatal rate go down to zero. It's always a tragedy when even we have one fatal accident.
I'm trying to put one in 100,000 in perspective. Are those odds that I like or don't like? You're suggesting I should like those, huh?
Yeah, I think those are very good odds, you know, in comparison to any other activity that you talk about, whether it's recreation or transportation activities by and large. We've done such a great job in airline operations and safety over the years that, you know, that benchmark has been set, thankfully, to be very, very extremely low.
Yeah.
So we're all thankful for that.
Is it the aircraft's fail or is it the pilot's fail?
Yeah, most of the time, just looking statistically, 75 to 80% of the time when there's a fatal aircraft accident in general aviation, it's pilot error. And in this case, I can tell you where the NTSB will be very focused on the fog in that area. The pilot was flying under some rules called special VFR. When you're a pilot, you can either fly visual flight rules or instrument flight rules, meaning you're flying entirely off your instruments. In this case, he was flying off visual flight rules, but the visibility was so low that he had requested a special VFR. And looking into the flight profile, he's flying under special VFR, very low weather and visibility conditions, and he's flying into rising terrain. And all of that is very likely where the NTSB is going to start.
Well, I understand that the vehicle, the aircraft descended quickly, but are you suggesting it's possible that it simply flew into something because it couldn't see the mountains?
It's possible. And what you have to be careful about that rate of descent is at the very last moments that an aircraft crashes within the last couple seconds, you're likely to see extreme conditions like that. As I tracked the profile this morning, I watched it and listened to the comm as it was going through. He's coming from lower terrain into rising terrain. The fog is getting worse based on some radar data to see there. And it looks like it gets bad enough based on his flight profile that he decides to turn around. And in that turnaround, somewhere the accident happens. So it has a lot of indications of what we call a controlled flight into terrain, which can happen when you have low visibility like that. So, you know, all of that, it will be determined by the NTSB, but based on all those conditions, that's very likely where they're going to start.
I'm watching the clock, Richard. I know you got to run, but is there any opportunity for the rotors to slow the descent or some sort of parachute to save either the people or the aircraft in situations like this?
Yeah, and there's really not a parachute. There was a prototype, I believe, that's been developed, but there's really not in production. If the aircraft had an engine failure, it does have the ability for something that's called auto rotation, where the blades can rotate to slow the descent to where it's survivable. It doesn't look like any of that was at issue here in this crash.
This is impossible, yeah. Okay, let's visit on a happier day. Richard McSpadden is the executive director of the Aircraft Owners Association, Pilots Association for the Air Safety Institute. Thanks for your time today, Richard.
Thank you.
Yeah, he's got to run. He's got a lot of conversations like that to go. But I guess there are instances where the blades can automatically rotate and slow the descent and make a crash survivable. I was talking to him off the air, and I said, but I thought I heard about some prototype where a parachute goes up when the aircraft is disabled. And he said, well, that won't work with a helicopter because you got the blades going around. It would cut the strings. I said, that's a stupid idea. He said, well, they have talked about prototypes like this, maybe at the tail end. And so help me. I remember hearing maybe it was for a fixed-wing aircraft where it's up high enough, something goes wrong, the engine fails, there's something wrong with the wing, and whoom. A parachute goes up, and then the whole dang plane floats down to safety. They did something like that for the Apollo spacecrafts and stuff like that. So maybe in theory something like that could happen. But they haven't been retrofitted with all of those things. They don't even all have black boxes, for crying out loud. But when you have been to the fair, or you go to a city and you can take a scenic tour over it, or you go to Alaska and you can get in the helicopter and tour the glaciers, you think, oh my gosh, I don't want to be a scaredy cat and not take advantage of this opportunity. But by the same token, you think, I also don't have to do this. And I think you just sort of do a reset on a day like today and say, okay, so what is the safety? And he said, it's very safe. Although now I need to look up one per 100,000 hours. And what is the equivalent of that to planes, trains, and automobiles? Because he was suggesting that's very safe. I'm sure it is. Those Sikorskis have great safety records. Most heads of state across the world that fly in helicopters fly in those. Governors, like the ones from Illinois, fly in those. So
the actual governor of Illinois probably did fly in this one.
Yeah. Which would that have been? Because Kobe's had this one for a while. Would that have been Thompson? Or I wonder who the governor was that owned that. It was probably before Blagojevich, right?
Well, it was Rauner that sold these helicopters. So,
it could have been any of them.
It could have been any of them, yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought Kobe had this one for a while, but it may be one that was more recently sold, huh? And it had a pretty good safety. I mean, pretty good. I guess it had an excellent safety record. And it had been retrofitted with some things. So my understanding was, if you were going to bet, you would have bet on this helicopter. Line 1, Producer Olive says, Ed, you're on WGN Radio. Thanks for calling in. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning. You were talking about parachutes on small aircraft. There is a group of airplanes that are made. I can't remember the name of it, but it's been made for over 20 years that has a parachute built into the top of the airplane. And if you have a problem, you can elect to pop your chute and land safely. And I think it's been used in actual operating conditions where it saved people's lives.
No kidding, really. And it's kind of like I'm imagining, like a little Piper Cub or something with a single engine in the front, that sort of thing?
Yes. Yeah, it's a single engine, and it's got a little pod, if you will,
right
on the top.
And I don't know exactly where something like that would go, how feasible that would be in a helicopter, right? But I'm not just dreaming this up.
Like you said, your friend said, the helicopter rotor would cut the strings.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, Ed. I appreciate your thoughts.
Okay.
Have a good day. Yes, Mike, you're on WGN. Jump in there, Mike. What do you know?
Yeah, John, the airplane that they're referring to is called a Cirrus. And it's got an internal parachute system that if the single engine fails, that chute deploys and the airplane will land, you know, safely.
Ah, yeah, okay. So I'm not just dreaming this up. Thanks for the help on that, too, Ed. And, Mike, I appreciate your calls. It's 9:30.